And we really believe that. That we can believe that help definitely is on the way. You know, I can imagine what it would have been like if family problems that occurred back in the day of Abraham. He married this woman, Sarah. Many years they didn't have children. All of a sudden one day Sarah said, "Look, Abraham, here's my handmaid. I'll give her to you." And she gave forth a child. The child's name was Ishmael. Sarah got very angry with her. And so she sent her away. And so Hagar went out into the wilderness and she was ready to die. In fact, she put the baby down in one area and she sat at another area at a distance. She didn't want to be right there when the baby just died because of no water. Then all of a sudden, God sent an angel. He said, "Hagar, go back. Go back." That was a ministering spirit. There was another time that Abraham, he had taken his son Isaac up on top of Mount Moriah. And while he was up there, God had said to sacrifice. And so Abraham tied his son up, put him on the wood, got ready for the fire, raised the knife up, ready to take the life of Isaac. And all of a sudden, an angel called out and said, "Abraham, don't do that. Don't do that." What's happening? That was a ministering angel. And you see, there was another time that there was three guys that stood up for God in the book of Daniel, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And because they stood up for God and they wouldn't bow down to this image, they were thrown into this fire. And all of a sudden, the king looked down and said, "Hey, look, didn't you throw three in there?" It says, "But there's four in there." It was an angel of God. And then there were the apostles. They were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ over in the book of Acts. And all of a sudden, when you look at those apostles, they were thrown in jail. But during that night, an angel came along and opened up the gates and said, "Come on, guys, go with me." They were ministering angels. And then all of a sudden, we see Simon Peter was thrown in jail. And one night, about midnight, an angel came in and opened up the door and said, "Simon, come with me." And then another time, Simon Peter was having lunch one day and a guy named Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile. And an angel came to him and said, "Cornelius, call for Simon Peter and he'll tell you about Jesus." What I'm getting at is that God speaks through ministering spirits, angels. There's two kinds. You have ministering spirits, and then you have avenging spirits. I mean angels, not spirits. I should have said angels. Ministering angels and avenging angels. Well, let me give you a little picture of the avenging angels. There was one time that the children of Israel had done wrong, so God sent down an angel from Dan down to around Jerusalem, and he killed 70,000 Israelites, an avenging angel. One time the Syrians came along with Sennacherib, and they were opposing the nation of Israel, and Hezekiah had prayed, and God sent one angel, and he killed 185,000 Syrians. One angel, an avenging angel. And then God sends an avenging angel out from heaven, and he says, "Look, sound the seven trumpets." And he takes another angel and he says, "Look, sound the three woes." And he takes another angel and he says, "Look, sound the seven veils," or the seven bowls of judgment. All throughout the Bible, you will find angels. Now you can say, is that something that's so unique? Do we have angels today? Well, if I carried you into the mind of Corrie ten Boom, who spoke with a missionary in Africa down in the area of the Congo, she said one time that there was in a village there, they had an orphanage of about 200 kids. And then in that orphanage of 200 kids, the mamas decided they were going to go in and kill the 200 children and all the leaders. The mamas started coming at a distance and they looked through, and the only thing that was separating the missionaries, the 200 children, was a little bit of a hedgerow there and a couple of soldiers, but it was nothing against the many number of the mamas that were coming. The mamas came, and all of a sudden they stopped, and they ran. The next day, the mamas came back to kill the 200 kids and their leaders, and the mamas headed that way, and they came to a certain point, and they stopped, and they ran. The third day, they came, and they stopped, and they ran. A little while later, one of the mamas was wounded, and he was on the side of the road, and somebody helped him carry him to the hospital where that missionary was working there. And the missionary said to this guy, look, why did you stop? And he said, didn't you come to kill us? And he said, yes, we were coming to kill you. But we couldn't kill you because all of those soldiers dressed in white. No soldier in Africa dressed in white. The missionary knew that was angels. Angels. You see, there are ministering spirits, ministering angels, and then there are avenging angels, but all there are sent from God. Now, we've been looking and we've been watching how that God has been moving through the Revelation. And we're moving up through the 7 years, and we're coming now to the end of that 7 year period, and the angels are still involved. Turn with me to Revelation. Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation chapter 20, we're going to look toward the Scripture, and we're going to see how that God has been speaking in Revelation chapter 20, and kind of bring you up to date. You might say, well, where are we right now? We're in the age that is known as the age of the Gentiles. It's during this period of time that people are able to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're able to be saved. Thousands of people, just like Stephanie this morning, who gave her life to Jesus Christ, and she followed Jesus. She is one of the reasons why God said, wait, guys, it's not over with yet. Maybe you're that one that God is saying, wait on. Well, it was during this period of time that we also see that Satan has been on the loose. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan is on the loose, folks. And so what are we having here? We've got an age of grace in which people are able to be saved. We've got a devil who is loose and seeking up and going up and down, roaring, just seeking who he may devour. And then we approached another period of time that's just out into the future. It is called the rapture. It is called that period of time in which the saints in Christ are going to rise up out of the ground. The dead are going to rise. And then we who are alive are going to be caught up together to be with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You see, that period of time is just around the corner. And you know, if sometimes we fail to think about what God is doing right now. So let me just capture your attention just for a few moments about the angels. In chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon. Amen? Come on now. He laid hold on the dragon. You know who the dragon is? It says it. That old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little while. I want you to look at Angel's Court right here. I want you to see what is happening right here. There's a key. There is a key to the bottomless pit. And now God the Father has given this key to this angel. And he said, go out there and grab old Slewfoot. Go out there and grab old Satan by the neck and take this big chain. Now, how big a chain would it take to chain Satan? Really big. That's exactly right, Eli. It's really big. It says a great chain. I don't know how big Satan is, but I do know that chain was big enough. Because you see, that criminal is none other than Lucifer himself. In fact, Satan has been viewed in the Revelation, as we've read, as a scary red dragon. And that's who he is in Revelation chapter 12 and verses 3 and 4. He is this red dragon that is going to take power. He's got the Antichrist. He's got the false prophet. But the red dragon, he's the fire behind this scene. And so therefore, in this court scene, We've got a key. We got the bottomless pit. Now this bottomless pit, how deep is the bottomless pit? It is bottomless. It continues to go both now and forever. And therefore, Satan is going to be bound. And Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years. He's going to cast him. And I like this. He's going to shut him up. Do you ever have somebody that kind of whispers in the back of your ear, why don't you do this? Or why don't you say that? Or why don't you? Or you deserve. Or, you know what I'm talking about? Satan is that one who's all the time whispering in your ear, driving you crazy. Satan is the one that's hitting that button on the VCR. Rewind. 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 I don't want to think that. Rewind. Satan is that guy. But you know what? The scripture says right here, it's coming a time that Satan's going to be shut up. Secondly, Satan's going to be sealed. There's going to be a mark put on Satan. He's the bad guy. And he said, everybody in the bottomless pit, you stay away from him. He is going to be sealed. A seal can use for protection. But folks, this seal is where Satan is going to be down in the bottomless pit, sealed for 1,000 years. Oh, wait a minute. Are we ever going to get through with this guy? Are we ever going to put Satan behind us? Can we ever get rid of him? By the way, let me just kind of parenthetically put this right here. Out of about 5 or 6 verses that we're going to read, you're going to hear the word 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years. That's called the millennium. Folks, we're coming back to this old earth. And we're going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years. So if you think that you can just do some little something and just get out of this world and it's all over with, folks, it's not all over with. Eternity is in front of us, and for 1,000 years we're going to come back with Jesus Christ here on this earth, and we're going to reign with Him in honor, in His glory. In fact, the Bible goes on to say that we're even going to judge angels. He's going to put us in a place of position. We'll touch that in a moment. But I want you to see right here that He is going to be bound now for 1,000 years. Shut up, sealed up, and set down. I like that. God's going to pull all his teeth. And he's not going to have a bite. He won't even have a grunt. I mean, we won't bother. He won't. But wait a minute. Something else is about to happen. As you begin to look, he's going to be incarcerated. He's going to be sealed. But it kind of reminds me of somebody. Excuse me just a minute. You remember Saddam Hussein? Yeah, y'all remember this guy. Do you remember when they caught him? The general said that they caught him, he was caught like a rat. He caught like a rat in a hole. Here's this guy who had all this money. When they caught him, he had 2 AK-47s, $750,000, and a taxi. And they caught him down in this hole. That just kind of reminds me about, oh, Lucifer. Oh, Satan, he's going to be taken and put in a hole. And he's going to be powerless. But that's not the end. You see, something's going to happen. During the 1,000-year reign, there's going to be children that are going to be born. During the 1,000-year reign, there are going to be those people who did not die during the 7 years of the tribulation. And every time a child is born, that child must make a decision for Jesus Christ. I like what Adrian Rogers said, that God has no grandchildren. God has no grandchildren. Jesus has no grandchildren. All He's got is children. What that means is that each one of us must make a decision for Jesus Christ ourselves. At the end of that 1,000-year reign, Satan is going to be released. Now, you would think after 1,000 years of incarceration, after 1,000 years of punishment, that Satan would come up out of that pit and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. But you know what he's going to do? Let's look at this. Let's look at this. He's going to be loosed for 1,000 years. Well, let's pick it up with verse 4 right here. And he says, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and a judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their heads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Who is this? These are the saints during the 7 years of the tribulation that didn't bow to Satan or to his beast or receive the mark, and they were beheaded. They were taken to the guillotine. And now, excuse me this morning, a little bit. And now, all of a sudden, these guys are going to be, verse 5 says, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 year were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him. How long? 1,000 years. So we begin to see right here that there is something that is called God's resurrection. In God's resurrection, those who were raptured and those who were saved during the 7 years of tribulation, they are going to come together and they are going to live here on this earth with Jesus Christ, ruling and reigning and sharing in the good news. And he said, these people are blessed, these people are holy, and these people are part of the first resurrection. By the way, how many resurrections are there? There's two. There's the resurrection, occurs the rapture, and occurs from these who have been beheaded for the gospel of Christ. These are all known as the first resurrection. By the way, Jesus Christ was a part of the first resurrection. When he came out of the tomb, he was a part of that first resurrection. And all those who have a part of the first resurrection shall have no part of the second death. Now, what does all that mean? That means, number one, is that when you're born in this world, you're going to die. Okay? That's one death. But if you do not die with Jesus Christ, then you will die away from him, and that will be the second death, and be cast into the lake of fire that burns with brimstones, both for now and forever. So what we are looking at right here now is God's resurrection as he brings these people back together to rule and reign with him. Now we're going to pick it up by Satan again in verse 7. Let's look at God's judgment. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, together, to gather them together to battle, the number which is as the sand of the sea. And they went on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp and the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. What are you looking at right here? You're looking at God's judgment. Satan is going to be released. 1,000 years of being in prison did not change the heart of Satan, not one bit, but he's released. All of those children who were born during this period of time, they must make a decision for Jesus Christ. Thank you, Brother Jim. You know what? When y'all get hot out there, doesn't it just aggravate you when the preacher gets a glass of cold water? And... Amen. That is good. Y'all want to sip? Sorry. Thank you, Brother Jim. Tying this thing down, the judgment comes. Satan is now loosed out of prison. He goes out and deceives the nation. And all of these come together to make war. But this time there will not be a rattling of the swords. God himself will speak with fire. And when he speaks with fire, all of these nations who have rebelled against Christ will be consumed in this fire. And so how long? We conclude here with verse 11, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So what do we gain from this? What do we gain from this? One of the things that we can definitely say right now is that heaven is sweet and hell is hot and Jesus saves. What can we say right now looking at this? I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged because you know what? Christians are winning. Sometimes we look at the paper and we read and we listen and we say, oh, the Christians are being... No, folks. Christians are winning. Secondly, Satan is losing. Now, you may think that he's winning right now, but the fact about the matter is Satan is a loser. And all those who follow after him will follow after him as a loser. And the third thing I gain out of this is anticipation. That is the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so, therefore, as we draw this to a conclusion this morning, are you ready for the return of Jesus Christ? Are you ready? Can you see God in His mercy with God's angels? He has His angels that are ministers and His angels that are avengers. And do you know that those angels are with you? The Bible says that every one of us, every believer, has an angel in heaven. It's always before you. And the Bible says that you have ministering spirits. So therefore, what happens? God has angels for you. And then we see God's court takes place where Satan gets his due. And he's bound for 1,000 years. And then he's off on parole for a little bit. And then he's cast into the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. And God's judgment becomes final. Well, this morning, are you walking with Christ? Are you encouraged? Are you excited? And the other thing that leads us to do is to tell people about Jesus Christ so that souls might be saved. Are you ready to share the good news of Jesus with other people? This morning, we can make a decision for Him. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You today, Lord, we see there are great things that are happening all around us. And Father, we know that Satan has his day coming, and we know that Christ is King. And Lord, I pray now for the congregation as we focus, as we're mindful, Lord, of all the blessings of God. Thank You, Lord, that when we begin to see the blessings of God, it's just one step away from the great blessing when You call us home. Father, I pray for Your people. I pray for Your country. I pray for Brother Tony. I pray, Lord, for this body of believers who have gathered together to worship You and serve You. May we bring honor in the name of Jesus. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, we'd like to give you an opportunity to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We'd like for you to be encouraged. We'd like for you to be a soul winner. We'd like for you to be anticipating the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd like for this to be very much a part, because now you have seen the big picture and you know what is going to happen into the future. Would you like to give your life to Christ? The prayer altars are going to be open. Other special needs will be this day. What is God saying to you? Let's stand together and sing as people come.